So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Once you're there, say there.
There.
All right. We got one. All right, here we go. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words, impressive wisdom, to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling. And my message and my preaching was very plain. Rather than using clever, persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. So Paul is still continuing to write to the church in Corinth. And this was a very wealthy, very influential area of the world. But with all that, it was they also had a great trade going on. And with all the people coming and going, it was known for its sexual desires of all sorts. And we'll hit that in a couple weeks. It'd be amazing what they walked through as a church. But not just as a church, but also as a city. The church here is taking on the identity of the city rather than the identity of Christ. And so Paul is writing, he goes, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellent of speech. To be honest with you, English language doesn't come easy for me. And so I push through it and try to figure out what words to say, how to say it nicer, and how to be gentle. But yet, if we find people with persuasive speech, they can persuade us from one side to the other. You ever been persuaded on an argument because somebody was very effective in what they were saying? See, the thing about it, I know enough missionaries, preachers, evangelists, all sorts of different people, even political people. And one thing they will all tell you, if you want to get the crowd on your side, you go after the emotions. You go after this story of oh, look at these poor little kids in Africa. They haven't eaten in 3 weeks. Remember those commercials? At least when I was growing up, they'd have them on Saturday mornings right after the cartoons. Because what they're after the emotional part. Because if you get somebody to touch base emotionally, you can change them. And Paul goes, I can do that. I'm very charismatic, Paul's saying these things. But Paul is saying, you know something? I chose to lay that down. And so we're going to look at this as he goes, I didn't come with excellent of speech. And now, in other words, I didn't use these big, lofty words. Has anybody been to a doctor and they use these doctor words? Yeah, and you're like, can you bring it down to my level? What does it mean in English language, not doctor Nernese? Or like they use in football, you get in a huddle, they start spouting out all this rhetoric, and you're like, what does that mean? Or if you look at a blueprint, you never looked at one, you're like, what does this mean? It's a language of its own. And Paul's saying, I can come in with this beautiful, wonderful language. We could go really deep into a lot of these passages, and a lot of people can, and they're great teachers. And they pull out all the Greek meanings and the Hebrew meanings and all these cool things, and that's great. But yet, Paul's saying, I'm going to put that aside right now. I didn't come with that. Because in the Corinth church in that city, they always applaud people who had the best talk. It was an honor. I don't know if anybody heard of TED Talks, where they go and give these talks. They have like 15 minutes, and they have to be polished. It's like the who's who of speaking engagements. And so the thing about what they do, they get tested, and they go through all these things. And at the end, they get applause because they spoke well. Good job. Bravo. Bravo. I could be a well-polished preacher if I wanted to be. But at the expense of what? At the expense of losing out on the power of God? See, Paul grew up as a Jewish man, and he was trained to become a rabbi. He had all the accolades. I mean, he was under the top leaders. And he even says in one of his writings, he goes, I was beyond my age and I was moving forward faster than anybody else because I was the man. And Paul's saying, I'm putting that all aside because you guys applaud this. You guys applaud that. And so Paul's saying, I'm putting that aside. Because this, and Paul purposely set aside his oracle display. Why? So he could say, look at Jesus. Look at the power of Jesus. Why do we do altar calls? Why do we have people come up for prayer? Not to just fill 10 minutes of Sunday morning gatherings? No, because God can do more in one moment than he could do all the time. It's that one moment. And so, the whole thing leads up to the altar. And that's what Paul's saying. He goes, I don't want to be known as a man that can speak well. So Paul put that aside. So the cross might be lifted up. Christ could be lifted up. The divine power, not human brilliance. So even the word says, be careful of those who have clever presentation more than spiritual substance. I've been in some services. The services was, wow, theatrical. Lights are going, smoke machines are going, loud cars, rocking bands, the whole nine yards, everything, you know, theater. I mean, they are polished, but their theology was off. They were not preaching the Christ of the Bible. They weren't preaching Christ of the cross. They were well polished. I'd rather preach the Word of God rather than be well polished. We got to be careful that we don't just trust clever sayings. You know, the slogan of the week, the slogan of the year, you know, just do it. Great, great saying back in the day. You know, every major operations always have a slogan. Like Nike, just do it. You have McDonald's continuing to change it. You have all these different things. You can pull them up on that one. But yeah, you know, that they're saying the slogan. Well, we got to be careful because they're just, not just mere words, but there's power. But the thing about it is that Christ is more powerful.
And so, and then it is, we got to be careful that we don't confuse the natural charisma with the Holy Spirit conviction. I've never been accused of being charismatic. I know a lot of charismatic people, and I'm like, wow, they're charismatic. But that's all they are. There's no power. There's no anointing. There's no this. It's like, wow, look at me. I'm charismatic. I'm outgoing. I'm happy. All these good attributes. But the thing about it, they forgot one thing. The power of God. They forgot the power that rose Jesus from the dead. Then we got to be careful of allowing social status or academia pedigree is what we rely on to eclipse who Jesus is. And what I'm saying there, that we got to be careful that, wow, look at all these degrees. I know preachers who have 5 or 6 degrees. But they don't have the power. You know, it's so funny because the gentleman that's going to be speaking tonight, Jerry and I were talking on the way home last night. He goes, you know, he acts so much like Tom Stammen and some of his mannerism. And then we stopped and we go, well, he did spend 4 years with him down in Honduras. Of course he's going to act like him. So you're going to act like the people you hang out with. Think about that for a moment. You're going to act like the people you hang out with. So if you hang out with crying little babies always whining about everything, you're going to start acting like them. You ever grown up, my parents could tell who I hung out with at school because of my attitude when I came home from school. See, just like if we don't hang out with the God of this word and we study it and we have PhDs and master degrees and all these things, it doesn't mean you hung out with the one who wrote the word. It just means that you know the Bible. And knowing the Bible doesn't get me to heaven. Memorizing God's word doesn't get me to heaven. The only way to get to heaven is Jesus. And James says, don't just memorize, but do. It'd be like if I told Jaron or Aurora, hey, go do this. And they go, okay. And they just memorized it. And I go, did you do it? No, I memorized it, Dad. Go clean your room. An hour later, get your room clean? No. I memorized it. You told me to. So many times we know what the word says, but we're not walking in the power. And so Paul is saying here, he goes, I didn't come with you these lofty words and to impress you, but I came declaring the testimony of God. What's your testimony? What has God done for you? And I don't mean the last 5 years. What has God done for you in the last 2 weeks? How has He shown up? How has He taken care of you? As a servant, it's not my job to take care of myself. It's my job to obey God, and He gets to take care of me. So when He tells me get to do something, I get to jump up and say, yes, the Lord's going to provide for that. Yes, this is going to be fun. And so what's your testimony in the last couple weeks? Well, I don't have one, Pastor. Can I push back on that and says, why not? I'll push a little bit harder. Have you been talking to Him? Have you been not just talking to Him? Have you been letting Him talk to you? And then after that, after you have this conversation, have you been obedient? Oh, that's a lot of work. It's exhilarating. It'd be like being drafted on a football team. The coach tells you to do something. You go, okay, coach. And you don't do it. See, here, wisdom, and this meaning is means the philosophy of the Greeks and human logic. In other words, he goes, I'm not going to come with you with what you think. See, the thing about it is that here is wisdom, either it's earthly wisdom or godly wisdom. And man's wisdom will always fail you. God's wisdom will never fail you. If God tells you to do it, even though it looks foolish, I get to do it because it's God's wisdom. How many of you ever had a thought in your life? Nobody. Okay, I get thoughts all the time. Even when I'm preaching, I get thoughts. In those thoughts, we have to determine quickly if it's a wisdom thought from God or a wisdom thought from myself or the devil. Then we have to translate it. Do I want to keep that thought or do I want to get rid of it? It's a brain exercise you get to do all day long.
And so the thing about this, it's wisdom. Human logic will always let you down. Human logic will tell you, you have too many kids at 3 or 4. That's human logic. You don't make enough money to support your family. That's human. But when God tells you to do it, you go beyond human logic. You go into God's wisdom. Denise and I were out in Phoenix. We were wanting to move from one location to another. And we're going to move into an apartment for the time being. And every apartment we were wanting to move to was a little bit more than we wanted to pay. That actually was out of our budget. We had a budget. Okay, with us both working, we didn't have kids at the time. If we could do this amount, all the apartments was above what we could afford. We went and looked at another apartment. And we're like, what's the use? And we get done, and God goes, that's the apartment building I want you to live in. But Lord, it's out of our price range. He goes, be quiet and obey. So guess what? We obeyed. We had one car at the time. I was able to walk to the job I had. Or bike. And I got a different job. Close enough. Denise was able to take the car. She was able to get transferred up to another same business, but a different location. And my job, I was working, anybody remember Cop USA, the computer store? Well, it was, they had one where we were living. And so I applied, even before I got home, I was getting a phone call on my home phone. That's before we had cell phones. I know. It's amazing. It was a wonderful life without cell phones. That the thing about it is that he goes, hey, come in for an interview as soon as you can. We want to hire you. So I got hired. And they would have incentives if you sold different things and different things like that. Every time I got paid, I had extra money in my check with the incentives. God provided. Human wisdom would say, you can't afford, you can't do that. But God says, oh yeah, you can. And God took care of that. We were able to pay off all the school debt within 5 years of graduating college. We were able to buy our first home and move into there. See, human logic says, well, you're going to be stuck where you're at. No, God's wisdom says, do what I ask you to do and you'll have great rewards. And so, he goes, I didn't come with human, but I'm declaring the testimony of God. And then he goes on, he goes, I determined. In other words, I've decided that I'm going to walk this out.
We got to decide if we're going to walk in human wisdom or the power of God. You can't walk in both.
Because human wisdom will tell you power of God. And the power of God will look at human wisdom. Look how foolish they really are. Praying for somebody? That's foolish. I will be a foolish man for Jesus than a wise man for this world. I will look foolish before God, and God will receive me.
And then he continues, "For I've decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified." In other words, I'm forgetting all my accolades.
All my accolades I'm forgetting. Because guess what? All your accolades, guess what? My GPA in high school doesn't mean a thing anymore. All I know, I got a diploma. I don't know what my GPA is. I don't even know what my GPA from college was. It's just, I mean, I could put my diploma here, my other diploma here, my preaching license, my ordination. I have all those things. But the thing about those don't mean a thing if I don't have the power of God. I would forget all that. When I was a little tyke, I was in Cub Scouts, the blue shirt people. And we would have Pirate Derby every year. And my dad would help me out sometimes. This year he helped me out. So you'd have your troop, or your pack, I guess. Have your pack of us kids. And then the town we lived in, Rockford area, Illinois, they would have a yearly big city where all the boy Cub Scouts would gather and race their cars. I don't know how many packs there were. There was just tons of us little snot-nosed kids running around. But the only way you can make it to the other one, it's like going to state and or regionals, that you had to win in your pack. And so I won in my pack that year. I was floored. I was like, how did we do that? And then so it was at this mall, this big old track. So I bring my car, and it was like a all-day Saturday event. It felt like it took forever. When you're 9 years old, anything that lasts more than an hour felt like forever. Traveling, you know, hanging out, or whatever. And so I got put in my car. And so in the morning, everybody had a chance to race. But by the afternoon, they started eliminating people. Well, I didn't make it to the finals, but I made it to the semifinals, which was in the afternoon. Everybody who made it to the semifinals got a trophy. And I also got a ribbon. Do you know something? I have no clue where those are at. I think we might have got rid of them by now. If not, it doesn't mean a thing. You know, I ran two races, two 5K races on Thanksgiving Day the last 2 years. Both times I got shirts, and I love my shirts. But one gave me a ribbon with a little hunk of metal. It says, Thanksgiving race. I don't know what I did with it, because it's just human accolades. Yay, I finished. I ran 3.1 miles, a 5K. But I can tell you one thing. Those are going to be rubbish compared to the power of God. I'm going to put all that aside.
All the accolades. All these things. I determine that I'm going to choose the route of glorifying Jesus. And Paul says, I come with weakness. In other words, he could say, I want to be myself. I want to come in fear of God, of the inadequacies. Trembling, dependence upon God's grace, and denies the confidence of self, and can magnify God. And so he says that like two or three times in these couple verses. He goes, my speech and my preaching were not persuasive words of human wisdom. There's wisdom again. But in demonstration of the Spirit and power.
We need to get back into the demonstration of the Spirit and power if we want to see Jesus move. We need to allow Him to manifest His power and His anointing. And when we speak, we need to make sure we speak words that would encourage one another to allow the Holy Spirit to move in power and demonstration. Because guess what? I can't persuade you to receive Jesus. I don't have enough eloquent words. But I can tell you, without Jesus, life is harder. I can tell you, without Jesus, well, what has Jesus done for me? He saved you from hell. That's all you need to know. Nothing else matters. Because when you serve Christ, being saved from hell is the greatest thing that can ever happen. When He took that sin and your shame, and the thing about it, Jesus wants to walk into your life, not just today, but you know the things that happened in the past? The shame, the disgrace, the frustrations, the disappointment. Jesus says, I want to walk into that situation today. And He wants to show up in power. Even if it was 30 years ago, He goes, I want to walk and demonstrate my power. Even if you didn't know Him, He goes, I want to walk into that situation now. Since I know You, I want to heal that broken heart. I want to heal that shame. I want to heal that hurt. That's the power of the risen Christ. But so many times we're angry, we're frustrated, we're mad. We're like, how can God allow these things to happen? Because we live in a sinful world. One. Two, He won't control you. He doesn't have remote control up there controlling you. He doesn't have wires controlling you. A marionette. His hand's not in your body, being a puppet or a muppet controlling you. You still get to make the choices you want to make, and people will make bad choices and they will hurt you. Even if you didn't sign up for it. But Jesus is saying, I want to walk into that situation with power and anointing so you can be set free. And the good thing about it, He wants to walk in today with you. He's not a God of just yesterday. He's not a God of just yesteryears. But He's also the God of today, right now. That He wants to manifest Himself in your life today. He doesn't want to wait till tomorrow. He wants to do it today. He wants to manifest physically, emotionally, mentally, all these areas of our bodies, of our life. He wants to manifest. He desires to show Himself. And not just that. He's not just a God of yesterday. He's not just a God of today, but He's also the God of tomorrow. And of your tomorrow's tomorrow's tomorrow. And that. And no doctor, no lawyer, no judge, nobody has authority to write your story besides God. A doctor is not a prophet. He cannot tell you what your end goal is. But God is the great God. No judge, no court, no nothing can tell you what's going to happen. God's greater than that. God's greater than anything you're going to face in the future. That's the reason why if God can manifest in the past, He can manifest today. And guess what? He wants to manifest in the future of your life. Because if He's God who created time, He's above time, and He can come in and out of time, and He's greater than anything you'll face. Because He's the God of today, God of yesterday, and God of tomorrow. He's what? The Alpha and the Omega. The first and the last. And He won't despise you. He won't forget about you. Some of you feel like you've been discarded, useless, set aside. No one likes me. Wolves. Guess what? There's a God in heaven whose eyes are on you, not to harm you, not to bang you with a hammer, but to bless you, not to curse you, but to help you, to guide you. He wants to walk with you. And you keep cursing yourself. Cursing is not a four-letter word. It's all the negative words you speak over yourself. When's the last time you took a compliment as a compliment? Where I can say, hey, you're an awesome lady. You are. And God's got great things for you. But the thing about it, sometimes people will tell us, hey man, you're reminding me of God. You're like, oh, I don't know. I have all these faults and failures and all these issues. Well, guess what? That's a curse on your life. I said, curse is broken. Now receive compliments as if God has given them to you personally. That you can do all things in Christ Jesus and what He called you to do. And He didn't just call you to sit around. He's called you to do great and mighty things. Those who know their God will do great exploits. And so many times we know God, but we're sitting around waiting for a go. Just go. Encourage one another. And when someone gives you a compliment, receive it. And don't say, well, they don't know the troubles I've been through. Or Charlie Brown, you know. Oh, I'm just Charlie Brown. By the way, God has the final say. God has the final say. No lawyer, no doctor, no judge has the final say. God has the final say. And if you truly believe that, seek Him with all your heart, and you will see miracles in the things you're about to face. And you won't have to walk around this stupid mountain any longer. God's right about to release you. But you can't keep nursing yourself. So, well, I guess I'm going to be like this person. If you're going to be like somebody, be like Jesus. Because He's the only one that won't fail you. Your mama will fail you. Your daddy will fail you. Your cousins, your nephews, your nieces, whoever, your grandparents will even. Why? Because they're human. But I'm telling you right now, God has the final say. So break free and believe with what He has. And allow Him to walk in your path where it was hurtful, where it was shameful. Allow Him to walk into there and heal you so you can go on a different trajectory. Because guess what? They're not prophets. I'm more of a prophet than any doctor will ever be. Because they've used human logic. They don't have, well, not all of them, but I'm telling you right now, God's wisdom is greater than human logic. But you need a surgeon. Who says? I'm going to go to my God who says I can heal all the diseases. Maybe what disease God can't heal? Tell me. There's not one thing He can't heal. Sometimes it's our diet. We have to change that. You mean I have to do my part? You mean I can't go drinking 6-pack of soda, Mountain Dew? Have a couple of the Monster drinks and ho-hos and ding-dongs all day long? No. You have to eat healthy. You got to do your part. You got to do His part. But yet there's still miraculous things that God can do.
Such as conviction of how you eat. And so in verse 5 it goes, that your faith should not be in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. My desire is to see your faith grow in the power of God.
If your faith is not growing,
And you're like, well, I don't know if Jesus can heal. I want to tell you, this word is greater than anything you'll think.
douse yourself in God's word. Just douse yourself. Well, I don't like to read. Good. There's audio versions of the Bible nowadays. Imagine that. Audio version. And guess what? You know what it says in the Bible? It says faith comes by what? Hearing. God knew there would be audio Bibles in 2026. How cool is that? Have it as background music, background noise. Get it into your soul. Well, I don't understand it all. Good, neither do I. I will never understand all this. I'm not supposed to. He's going to reveal things along the way when I need it. Like this week, God revealed something new to me. I was like, oh, I didn't understand that. So I asked somebody, and they go, oh, this is the way. Oh, that's kind of cool. And so the thing about it, we need to get back to the power of God. And the thing about it that frustrates me the most, it really frustrates me. I'll tell you, I'll wrap up, because people, I don't know if you want to know my frustrations or not. Well, I get to tell you. When preachers from all across the land, they're preaching, but there's no power. Or they're supposedly Pentecostal preachers, whole gospel preachers, and there's no demonstration of the power. That frustrates me. Because the book of Acts is not done, written yet. Guess what? We're part of the apostle team of God's disciples. And as long as I'm alive, the Holy Spirit's going to continue to move. After I'm dead, somebody else has to pick up the mantle to keep the Holy Spirit moving. My job, while I'm still alive, is try to get close to God as possible and allow the power of God. Because it says, do not associate with those who have a form of godliness, like all my PhDs, but deny the power of God. I will not deny the power of God. I will. Someone comes in and says, well, God doesn't heal this or that. They're not welcome behind the pulpit. Because God is able to heal all diseases, all sickness. Why doesn't he? I don't know. I'm not God. You take that up with God. Why do people die? Because of sin. You really want to know why there's death and sickness in the world? Because of Adam and Eve chose to sin. Because guess what? There won't be a hospital or a doctor in heaven. Do you know that? How awesome is that? And guess what? Eternity is already taking place. That's the reason why I'm already seated with Christ Jesus. That's the reason I already received my righteousness. Not because of me, because of Jesus. Because eternity is already taking place. I don't have to wait until I die to receive my inheritance. Jesus died for my inheritance. All right, we're going to be done. We're going to pray. Come on out tonight. I'm not preaching, so somebody else is preaching. You'll enjoy it. It was great. But we're going to reopen the altar. If you want prayer, hey, I'd love to pray with you. And Wednesday night at 6 p.m., then next Sunday morning and next Sunday night, 5 o'clock, potluck downstairs. So let's pray and then go from there. Father, we thank you.